Hello, and welcome to the Off-Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances. I'll be your hostess.
Hello, and welcome to episode 126, the Back in the Saddle Again episode. I feel like I've had other Back in the Saddle Again episodes, but you know that happens, because every once in a while I fall off the pony. But I'm back. Talk about it in the Quilt Diaries. I've started a new quilt, Halloween quilt, yay! And there will be pictures. Website. theoffkilterquilt.wordpress.com. Come over, see, leave a comment. I love your comments. I haven't gotten a ton lately, which I think is what happens when one posts episodes sporadically. People stop coming by to say hello because they're not sure you're going to be there. Well, I'm here, so come by, say hello. I want to say thank you to the folks who commented on last week's episode, Quilt and Jenny, Kelly the Fifth, and Jay, and then a lot of people who commented on episode 124, Carol, AJ Dub, Laura, Janet, Robin Lawrence, Terry, Amy Pink, Katie R, Quilt and Jenny again, Dorothy, Jay again, the lovely Kelly the Fifth again, Sandy from the Quilt Cabana Corner, Jay, Tori, oh, just very good friends, people coming by, saying hey, staying with me, sticking with me. I'm not pod fading. I am back. I'm back in the saddle. Like I said, I am back from Nashville, Tennessee. By the way, today is Monday, October, I think the 14th, though I wouldn't swear to it in court. It is 2013, however, I'm sure of that. I was in Nashville for the Southern Book Festival, ran into some wonderful old friends, like Sarah Dessen, the YA author, just fabulous, and Clyde Edgerton, and I shook hands with Senator John Lewis and almost cried. He's the civil rights hero, one of the true American heroes, in my opinion. And I said, may I shake your hand so I can tell my children that I shook your hand? And he said, yes, and tell your children I say hello. Very exciting. I had tea with a singer-songwriter, Janice Ian, who I've been email corresponding with for a while now. She happened to read my book, Falling In, and really liked it, and emailed me to tell me this. This is a woman who's had a very long, successful career as a musician, who's hung out with people like Jimi Hendrix and Bob Dylan and the Reverend Gary Davis, which is very exciting in our family. The man is a huge fan. And just as down to earth and nice and cool as she could be. So I had a really good time talking to her. It was a good trip, and people actually showed up to my session, which, you know, when you're a children's book author or a poet, it's really a crapshoot of these things. Because, and especially my session, 3:30 Saturday afternoon. I mean, please, like, if you're a parent, think about 3:30 on a Saturday afternoon and what that means in your family life. And a lot of times it means soccer game, baseball game, football game, whatever, not necessarily going downtown to a book festival. And in fact, there at my session, it was middle school librarians. But, you know, it was lovely because there were about 12, not a huge crowd, but actually a really good crowd. And in fact, a really good size, because at the beginning I said, all right, you know, it's not a huge crowd. Let's go around and say who we are and why we're here. And they were librarians, and most of them were there because they liked my books. So that was really nice. And we ended up having, I read a little bit and answered some questions, and then we kind of just talked, and it was cool. So I like it when that happens. And I like it when people show up, quite frankly. I'm not picky, really. I mean, 12 just felt like an embarrassment of riches. And then I did a book signing, and when I got to my book signing table, there was already a little girl. She's not little, little girl, a sixth grader named Lydia, waiting for me. She was excited to meet me. So that was nice. So it felt good. I was a little worried I would get there and just be kind of lost and no one would be interested, but that was not the case. So yay, yay for Nashville. It's good to be home. I'm not flying again until April. I hate to fly. It's just such a miserable experience. And I have some school visits, but one in November and one in December, but otherwise I'm home, and I like being home. I'm looking forward to easing into the holidays. I suspect we're going to stay home for Thanksgiving. I think originally the plan was to go to my parents' house, but now with my mom being sick, I don't think that's going to happen. She's doing well, by the way. Thank you for asking. Thank you for your prayers and good thoughts.
But I don't think she's going to be up to big Thanksgiving dinner with the grandkids. So I think we're just going to stay home. We did that last year because we were actually supposed to go to my parents last year. And then I got sick with, you know, just a bug. And I felt, you know, just did not feel good. But we ended up having a nice, quiet Thanksgiving here. And we enjoyed it. So I think that's what we're going to do. And I love Thanksgiving. I love it more than Christmas. Christmas in the ideal is like the best, but in the real, a little stressful. So Thanksgiving, you get all the holiday good vibe without any of the work other than cooking. And the cooking is easy, quite frankly. It's just a lot of it, but it's, you know, roasting a turkey. You just put it in the oven, you roast it. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm working on a Halloween quilt. I may make a Christmas quilt next. I am not doing quilty Christmas presents. Just not doing that. You know what? I kind of burned myself out a little bit on the green and white quilt and the white and green quilt. They were fun quilts. I'm really pleased with them. The recipients were very pleased with them. But it's just a little, you know, quilting under a deadline. I've got enough deadlines in my life. I didn't need that. So I'm just going to have fun. I'm having fun. Let's have fun. Okay. I'm sure there are other things that I'll regret not telling you later. I was like, oh, I should have said this. I should have said that. But, you know, we need to get on to the quilt diaries. Do stop by, leave a comment, or you can email me. Noni, thank you for your recent email. My email address, fdowell, D-O-W-E-L-L, at nc.rr.com. Okay, on to the quilt diaries. Quilt diary, day one, Wednesday, October 9th. 2013. I'm very excited because I feel like I'm back. Like I'm really back. I feel like I've been gone. I feel like I've been gone since I finished the green and white quilt and the white and green quilt and set for myself the task of finishing the mosaic quilt. Let me tell you, I love the mosaic quilt. It's going to be a very nice quilt. It's going to look really nice in my bedroom. I'm excited for that quilt, but I'm going to tell you something. You can get tired of half square triangles. And I knew on Monday, I believe it was, I was pressing out half square triangles into little squares. And, you know, I love ironing. I love ironing. I was sitting there, I was watching the latest episode of Last Tango in Halifax. Watch it. It's on PBS Online. Watching that, I should have been having a good old time. I am such a cheap date. I mean, really. And I was like, this is boring. I'm like, oh no, I have lost my quilting bug. It finally happened. I thought, how could that be? Because I enjoy it so much. And yet here I am. And I thought, you know, you got to do something. And then the next day, which was yesterday, I thought, I'm going to make a Halloween quilt. And that was actually part of a larger piece of thinking that I've been doing, where right now I'm in between projects, which means I kind of have to make meaning for myself. There are things that I have to do, right? I have to get my kids to school and I have to cook and I pretty much have to do laundry. I guess we could argue that I don't, and I don't do everybody's laundry. But anyway, but those sort of things that keep the household running. Whereas I don't have to clean, you know, I do some cleaning. I was thinking, I really wish that other people in this family cared about having a clean house, because it's less fun to clean if you're just doing it for yourself. You would really love it if everyone appreciated it. And I think the man does. I don't think he has a very his tolerance for mess is high, you know, so therefore, if the house isn't clean, he doesn't care. He likes it when it's nice. But if I kind of wish there was some more external pressure, like, you know, maybe lived in a small German village in the 1800s where the Hausfrauen came around and inspected your work. Although I know people who live in situations like that. At least I have a friend who lives in the same town as her mother, and it is an Ohio town, and they are of German descent. And I think there's a really high what am I trying to say? There's a lot of pressure on her to keep a perfect house, which she does. My mom lives in Kentucky.
I think when she comes to my house, I think she's just happy to see the grandkids. I don't know how much she's judging. I don't feel like she's judging that much. My mom's pretty cool. So anyway, so I'm thinking every day, it's very existential, this existence, when you don't have an assignment in front of you. I must get this done. All right, I'm walking over to my kitchen. I'm roasting a chicken, some chicken for lunch. A chicken leg. Very nice. Okay, got it. Got it. Yes. Yes. Okay. Anyway, I'll get back to it. I turned off the heat. So you have, it's like you have to make your own meaning on a day-to-day basis. I mean, life has meaning, family has meaning, friendship. You can make a list of all these things that are you value, that you believe to be valuable, and just a larger way beyond just your own personal life, but family, community, good food, taking care of your soul, all those things. But nonetheless, on a day-to-day basis, for me, if I don't have a specific job to do, I kind of get at loose end. So I have to sit myself down and go, all right, first of all, we'll get back to work in a week or so. See, I just finished something and I need some time between projects. In the meantime, what's important? It's like, I wouldn't say making my children happy is important in the way, like, I don't want to bend over backwards to make sure that they have fun and games all the time, but I do think creating a household, a home where people are comfortable and well fed, that's soul feeding. I'm very big on this right now, thinking about the soul. And so what is soul food? Well, it's all kinds of different things. Quilting is a kind of soul food for some of us. Food, good food prepared with love is soul food. So anyway, I'm like, so you gotta always, for me, it's always, I like need to bring it back home. What's important? And to me, it's like having a home, a comfortable, relaxing, good smelling home. I think creates a tableau for happiness, or at least good living. Yeah, I want to be. I was at a meeting the other day, and someone kept saying, "Well, I want my children to be happy." I'm like, "Do I want my children to be happy? Depends what you mean. I want my children to have good work, and I want them to have good relationships, and I think that leads to happiness. I don't necessarily need them to be happy every minute of their lives just to keep them entertained and amused. But that is a digression. So I'm thinking, huh, well, what's coming up? Halloween is coming up. Will is a Halloween baby. I have been promising this child a Halloween quilt, not for his bed, but just as a decoration for the house for a long time. I'm like, that is focusing on the home. We're going to stay focused, grounded, and centered. We are between projects, and so we're going to get focused on the home. I'm going to make a Halloween quilt. And so I went to Joann's. I bought fabric. No, before I went online and I was looking. I Googled Halloween quilts and looked at images. And there was one I really liked, which was like a, I can't tell you how many blocks. The pattern that you could get free online was for houses. Houses, nine patch. Then let's see. So I'm trying to think of the best way to describe this too. It's very easy. So you do, a nine patch with 2.5 inch squares on either side of the square, the nine patch you make, you sew a 1.5 inch strip in a neutral color. The squares are from little bits of Halloween fabric. And then you make a roof by making 6.5 inch half square triangles. I think that's right. And then you sew it all together and you have a house, and I will put pictures up. And I thought, that is what I like that. I love houses. I love house quilts. I'm like, I'm gonna do that. And so I went to Joann's and I kind of didn't know, and I just guessed. I'm like, all right, I bought like half yards of all these different Halloween fabrics they had. And I bought some yellows and some solid seaming fabrics, some black, some yellow, some brown. And then, and I just thought, I'm going to pick one color that I'm not really thinking of, if you know what I mean. So I'm thinking, of course, thinking orange, black, red, yellow, gold, marigold, blah, blah, blah. But I'm not thinking green. I'm gonna throw a green. Like I just bought one of those Joann's Fat Quarter greens. And you know what? Totally awesome idea. It works. It works. So I may have to go back because when you do it this way, make a quilt this way without a pattern. If you're me, you have to get started until you start seeing exactly what it is you need. So I have a better idea now. I've made three houses. By the time I post this podcast, who knows? But you know what? I was excited to be ironing again and cutting and putting something together, and I like it came back to me. This is so fun. I really like to do this, and it just was for this period of time where I was like, and even I enjoy doing the green and white quilt and the white and green quilt, and I'm very proud of them. I think they came out really nicely. Even that, though, was doing a lot of the same colors, i.e., green and white and white and green. And there's also, sometimes it's fun to not quilt under pressure, just to be making a quilt for yourself. And it doesn't have to be done anytime. And as someone who does finish, there's not that risk of having five half-finished quilts around. I do have some half. I still have to finish my red and white quilt, finish quilting that. So I've got some stuff. Obviously, the mosaic quilt is not done, but I have faith in myself to finish projects. I'm really good at that across the board in my life. So yeah, I needed to do something new. I needed to get away from the dang half-square triangles. And now I can just kind of tuck them in, right? I'm doing some ironing. I'll iron. I've got like 8 blocks worth of half square triangles right now, which is really, really a lot of half square triangles. But yes, so exciting. And all of a sudden I was just like, oh, I remember I really like making quilts. And I'm going to make more quilts and I'm going to sign up for more Craftsy classes. I'm like, no. I picked up. I was so excited when I went to Joann's. There was the October American, patchwork and I always want to say patchwork and pacifiers, and that's not it. That's our long lost podcast. This is digression. New podcast. We know we've got Allison back from Within a Quarter Inch. Very exciting to have her voice back in the fray. We've got a lot of people hanging strong, hanging tough. Who are real people who've. Like Pam and me, and well, me, I've been like really sporadic, but I'm still doing it. Haven't stopped. Sandy, both Sandys, Tanisha, Katie. I mean, I feel like there's a good stable core, and then Noni, excuse me, and Susan, the history quilter, and pioneer quilter. What other podcast? There was something else. But there's actually a really good core group of. I don't know, as many 10 to 15 quilting podcasts where people are still, even some are just more, quarterly entries, but that's okay. You're still doing it. But I'm waiting for who's new? Who's new? And of course, a lot of folks start and it's hard to keep up with. So anyway, just curious. Curious if anyone's heard of anyone new. And also, as we're getting into the high craft season, although I am at this point really not planning on making any quilts for Christmas. I had thought about it for my nieces. I'm just like, no. My niece Elizabeth is graduating from high school in the spring, and maybe I'll make one for, when she goes off to college for, for her to take with her to college. But I'm like, no, I don't want that pressure. Christmas is just 2 months away. It's too late. You need to start Christmas quilts right after Christmas, but where am I going? Where am I going? Oh, anyway, but it's a fun time of year to craft in general. So if there are any new crafting podcasts that you're excited about or old crafting podcasts that you're excited about, let me know. But I am excited to be excited because I have not been. And I thought, well, does that have to do with my mom being sick? Is there some connection? And she's not quilting right now. There, I think she may, when she's got some energy, I think she's been in her sewing room a few times, but she's really not. I'm like, so maybe it's something, psychological. But, I think it's the mosaic quilt, just the sameness of that. I think it was doing two quilts in the late spring, very intensively, and then going from that, where sometimes you do need a little rest after that kind of intensive thing.
to just the mosaics. And I want to say the mosaic quilt is very cool. And I in no way, I feel like if I'm not denigrating it, and I certainly am very appreciative of everyone who has sent me fabric. I mean, it's why, that's one of the reasons it's such a beautiful quilt, is it has all this beautiful fabric that people have given me. So I will finish it. I will keep doing it. But man, it is fun working on something new. So I just want to share that with you, inspire you if you've been in a rut too, and go do something new and small and fun and buy cheap fabric. You know, I'm a pretty much, you know me, I'm a Thimble Pleasures girl. I buy the good stuff. I think it's probably environmentally a little better. Although, you know, cotton is problematic. It really is. But that's a whole nother ball of wax that I'm not going to roll down the street right now. But that's what I want to tell you. I think my chicken is ready. I'm going to have some lunch, going to do a little work, and maybe go to the gym, lift some weights. Might could do it. All right, we'll see if I get this posted tomorrow. If I do, I don't, maybe I will. Maybe I will be so excited later today. I'll do another quilt diary, and then I'll post another podcast episode. Wouldn't that be something? Back in the saddle, girls. Back in the saddle. All right, more soon.
Quilt Diary Day 2. It's Friday, October 11th, I do believe. I was kind of halfway hoping maybe I would post yesterday. I think we've given up on the fiction of the Thursday girl thing, although one day I may get back to it. But I have a hope that I will get this posted Monday. I am going to Nashville this weekend, so it's not going to happen this weekend. But I had to tell you this. Very interesting. I think it's interesting how the universe works. So Wednesday night, I'm reading my book called The Quilt, A History and Celebration of an American Art Form by Elise Shebler Roberts. Now, I heard her on Pat Sloan's podcast. It must have been last spring because I think I asked for this for my birthday and got it. But you know what's funny is I didn't read it. When I got it, I wasn't in the mood to read it. But the other night, of course, being so happy to be quilting again, I thought, I'm going to read my quilting book. And I started it out, you know, here's the thing, when it comes to quilt histories, you know what, I'm interested in quilters themselves. I like looking at pictures of quilts. I believe, as I have mentioned, I'm not that interested in the history of textiles. I know that some people are, and there's interest to be had there, but not right now for me. But I do love hearing stories of people's quilts and how they came to make them and et cetera, et cetera. Well, I came across a section about this quilter named Jean Ray Laurie, L-A-U-R-Y. Do you know her? I had never heard of her, but I think she was kind of big. She did a lot of writing for the Quilters Newsletter in the 80s, and maybe before that. I can't remember when Quilters Newsletter started, but she wrote a column, and she was an artist and a textiles person, and she was a feminist, but she was a feminist with a real love for home and domestic life. She had a family. She was an artist who worked at home and struggled, as all of us do, with getting that balance between family and craft, you know, but she was not, and she, it's interesting. I'm going to back up here again. So before I get too much into her, but anyway, and I'm looking at my quilt book right now. So I'm leafing through it and I find this section on her. And I thought it was really cool. I just thought she was interesting. I liked her quilts. They're funny. She's passed away, but did some really cool pictorial quilts in the 70s in particular. And I think that I responded to them. They're in a kind of a cartoon style that if you're my age, which would be almost 50, you might remember from, say, Schoolhouse Rock from early mid-70s, if you were raised on Sesame Street at that time, you would be familiar with the kind of cartooning that I'm talking about. I don't know if there's an actual name for this style, but her quilts employ that style of cartooning, and they're funny, and they're clever, and they are very pro-women, but they're not anti-domestic, and she was not anti-domestic life. And as someone myself, who has a fairly domestic life and has, I'm very happy to be at home. You know, I know my mom listens to this podcast. She asked me, I talked to her yesterday, and she's like, have you stopped doing your podcast? Have you given up? And I was like, no, I posted a podcast last week. And she's like, oh, thank goodness. So, but anyway, I think it must be sometimes funny for her to listen to me talk and go, yes, I love being home. But I do. I mean, I love having work. And I love having the freedom that I have, and I love having the partner, i.e. husband, that I have, and that we share a lot of work, not all of the housework, just because, as I've said, I care a lot more than he does. But nonetheless, I do like being home. And I think, so anyway, so I'm reading about Jean Ray Laurie and seeing her fabulous funny quilts. The next day, yesterday, Thursday, I go online. I thought, you know, I have not checked out the International Quilt Studies Center website in ages. I mean, it's been a year. And they often have, you know, they have obviously a lot of talks there. A lot of scholars who study textiles and quilts speak. And they are very good about posting the vidcast, essentially. And so I thought, I wonder what they've got going on. So I went to the site, and wouldn't you know, Jean Ray Laurie, who I've never heard of before, is the subject of a recent talk, as well, her quilts are part of a big recent exhibit. And I listened to the talk, and I will actually link to this. I'm terrible at linking it anything, but I'm going to link to this. It was wonderful, and it talked about her brand of feminism, which is very pro-woman, but also very pro-family life and domestic life. She did not see domestic life as necessarily as a huge oppressive thing. Now, she also took housekeeping. She took a very light, hands-off approach, which I personally appreciate. And in fact, if you look, and the speaker points this out, if you look at the back of this book, okay, this is funny. She wrote a book called Getting It All Together at Home Handbook. It's The Creative Woman's Getting It All Together at Home Handbook. And it was published in like 77. Is that right? 75. No, 77. I'm right. Anyway, so which is when I was like in ninth grade. So I ordered it off Amazon yesterday for 2-day Prime shipping. They had a copy for a cent, and they had it prime, so it just cost $4, and it actually came today. I haven't read it yet, but I just was so inspired by this talk, and I just thought she seemed so very cool that I wanted this book. And if you look at the back, the picture on the back cover, which first of all, it looks like, Mom, I'll have to bring this book and show it to you the next time I come visit. It just reminds me of actually more of where we lived in 1979, but it's, you know, that kind of earth tone-ish thing, but also it's like you look at the kitchen sink. So it's a picture of Jean Laurie and her daughter. They're sitting in the kitchen at the kitchen table. Jean Laurie is sitting in front of a typewriter. Her daughter, who looks like maybe she's 16 or 17, is reading a book. There's on the table, it's crowded with books, milk carton, cups, a basket of apples, a vase of dried flowers, and, you know, it's all manner of things. And then you see behind her, the kitchen sink is just piled high with dishes. And I just love that. I love a woman who's like, yes, I'm going to do this work first, and then I'll get to the dishes later. The dishes are important. I think the dishes should be done, but they're not the primary thing. Anyway, I'll read you the blurb on the back. How does a creative woman who is committed to home and family meet her needs for self-expression and communication? This warm, appealing book answers that question by presenting the real-life experiences and solution of inventive, energetic, talented women throughout the country. I'm looking forward to reading it and to seeing what is, I mean, obviously it's going to be dated, but it may have some timely truths in it. Anyway. So, Jean Ray Laurie, I'm going to link to both her exhibit that was up at the International Quilt Study Center in Omaha, I believe it is, Nebraska, as well as to the talk. And she's, I don't know, I just thought she was really cool. I liked her quilts. I thought they were witty and funny. She was mean, she was, we've had the discussion more. Sandy has had it. It's been a couple years now over at Quilting for the Rest of Us. Like, quilting, is it a hobby? Is it a craft? Are we artists? What are we? And I'm very comfortable with the word craft. I like that. Quilting is a craft. I don't like hobbies more than that. I think Jean Ray Laurie, it's L-A-U-R-Y, Laurie. Let's say Laurie. She was a trained artist and practiced her art through quilt making. I don't feel like an artist. I feel like a craft person. Anyway, but isn't that funny how that works? Never heard of Jean Ray Laurie. Read about her in The Quilt by Elise Shebler Roberts. And the next day, there she is on this website. And I learned tons about her. And now just love her. I'm going to read her book about creativity and getting it all together at home. Very exciting. So I just wanted to share that with you. And I will share links with you. I'm going to end this. I will probably on Monday, I guess I will tell you about my trip to Nashville, which is tomorrow. I'm leaving at 11 and doing a presentation at 3:30 at the Southern Book Festival. I don't expect anyone to attend, with the possible exception of my friend, Janice Ian. I think we've discussed how Janice Ian liked my book Falling In. I've never met her, but now I've read her biography. I'm like, oh my goodness, I can't meet this woman. She like used to hang out with Jimi Hendrix. She seems really nice though. But anyway, so she said she's going to, do you remember this? If you've been listening to me for any amount of time, you know, Janice Ian emailed me around February because she had read Falling In and really liked it. And so now we're buddies. And she lives in Nashville, is actually going to be participating in the Southern Book Festival as well. So hopefully I will meet her. And, sounds like the guys are back from the baseball game. So I'm going to finish this up. I'll tell you all about Nashville on Monday or maybe Tuesday. So anyway, get quilting. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.